Welcome to POP, the sermon podcast for Peace Lutheran Church in Gahanna, with Pastors Doug Warburton and Tony Katko.
So we're in week four of a five-week series on the book of Ephesians that we're calling Walk the Walk. Book of Ephesians, for those of you who aren't familiar, is a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. And it's a letter that got read at a lot of congregations that were beginning. What does it look like to be a community that is rooted in Christ? Now, I want to start today by sharing with you a struggle I've been having recently. It's a struggle with the word. And it might seem strange, but the word I've been wrestling with is help. Help. Now, at face value, it seems like a word that we should be engaged with, the word that we should care about, because of course we want to be people that help one another, lift each other up in the midst of our struggles and whatever life brings. We want to be there for one another, but where I've been wrestling with this word is in terms of, is it always helpful? Maybe this has to do with the fact that I'm 55 years old now, and I like to think that I'm becoming a reflective, wise pastor. Actually, I'll share a little story about that. So a couple weeks ago, my dear colleague and friend Tony Katko's son was making his way toward our office. Oliver over here, probably not paying any attention. No, okay, Tony's shaking his head no, but he makes his way back to our offices, and Tony and I have this dividing wall in between our offices, and Oliver comes up, and I notice he sneaks and hides behind the wall. And so I, from my office, lower my glasses and go, I think there's an Oliver behind the wall. He pokes his head out, and he goes, how did you know? And I said, because I am a wise old pastor. He puts his hand to his chin, scratches his head, and he looks up at me with a look like this and goes, you're not that wise. The pastor part, yeah. The old part, yeah. The wise part, yeah. So back to this word, help. It seems, like I said, it seems like a word that would be something that we want to be people that do, that offer. But at times, it also feels a little bit hierarchical. Like, I'm up here, and I can reach down and help you down there. It's not equalitarian sometimes when we say this word. Or sometimes, and I've had... I do say privilege and honor of sitting with so many of you during difficult times in your life. Comes with the role of being a pastor. And I sit with you in times, and often I will say, how can I or how can we as the church help? But so often I already know the answer to the question before I've even asked the question. Because the answer I know is going to be nothing. Nothing. So it feels like a shallow expression of, in some ways, and maybe you felt like this too, in some ways it feels like I'm a little awkward in this situation now because there's nothing that I can do. So if I offer to help, then maybe I can either solve this problem or distance myself from it. So often the answer is there's nothing you can do. If you have a health struggle, I often would love to be able to help, but I can't resolve it. You might have a question that I can't answer. You might have a situation in your life that you'd rather not be in that I can't fix. So there must be something more profound about being a part of a community like this than just being able from time to time to offer help to one another. And that's where I think we can pick up Paul's reading today, as Paul's writing, because I think Paul gets at a way more profound thing of what it means to be united as a body of Christ. And I love, this might be my favorite passage in all of Ephesians. He writes, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now listen to this, these beautiful words. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And now for these next two verses, I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to count the number of times you hear the word one. Ready? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. How many times?
Seven.
Well done. Seven. If you know anything about the Bible, you know that's a pretty important number. Seven days of creation. All throughout the Bible, seven represents completeness, full communion. It's the whole. Seven represents this. So when Paul writes this, he does this intentionally as a way of saying, when you are a community of faith, there's all these ones that add up to seven. It is complete. It is whole. It actually points even back to the book of Deuteronomy and the Jewish Shema, which says, the Lord, or hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We are one body, complete, united in Christ. That's what Paul's saying. Which, of course, makes us think of aspen trees, right? Aspen trees. If you've ever, and have you been to Colorado, seen the aspen groves there? We were fortunate enough a couple times to go. One of our members has a home there, and they've let us stay there and to be able to ski there. And I love to look at the aspen groves. Now, here's something you may not know. Maybe some of you do. Aspen groves, it could be miles long of one grove, and its all underground system goes back to one root ball. So these forests, these groves of aspen trees, like you see here, all are connected by one root ball underneath the ground, which is fascinating to think. Now the trees are not identical, but they're genetic makeup is. Isn't that fascinating? So no two trees are alike, but if you go into its genetic makeup, it's all of them are made of the same stuff from one root ball. Scientists have studied some of these groves, and to date, the oldest root ball they found, 80,000 years old. Now, here's the fascinating thing. You could have a forest fire. It could decimate everything above ground, and that grove will come back because that root ball is still alive. It's a little bit like what Paul's saying. We're all one. We're all connected. We're different. You are definitely different than me. But we are still the same genetic makeup because we come from the same place. Makes me think, last week was Peace Serves. Some of you participated in Peace Serves last week. If you're a guest with us, let me tell you a little bit about what Peace Serves is. It's a day where once a year at Peace, we set aside for service. Whether it's service here on our own building or Peace Grounds, or we go out to some of our partner ministries and go serve out in the community. And we had 170 some people last week that just gave up the afternoon to serve right after church. Now, here's what I love. I love that it's this visual display of living out our faith life through service. But I noticed last week, I paused from time to time. I was doing some of the gardening here on the grounds, and I would just stop working and go walk around and watch some of you work, which is way more enjoyable. But here's what I noticed. Something profound hit me that went beyond the fact that you were simply serving or gardening or whatever it was that you were working on. Some of you were cleaning pews in the sanctuary, whatever it was you were doing. I just enjoyed watching what was happening because there was something more than just helping going on. There was connection happening. Those of you from different walks of life, some of you business people or professional owners of something, or landscapers, or stay-at-home parents, all of you were connecting with one another in some sort of communal way. It was like you were realizing that you were one root ball. That's way more profound than the help that you offered. Mother Teresa was once asked to define what makes up our world's ills. And she defined it as, we've just forgotten that we all belong to one another. We've just forgotten that we all belong to one another. After service, if you haven't already picked one up, we're going to pass out a flyer, and it's got some top secret information. If you haven't gotten one already, they'll be available after the service, just a little piece of paper. And I can't say out loud what the paper's about right now because we're online. And it involves trying to help a family relocate from a very dangerous country. And so Minda Bickley and I happen to have a conversation with the directors of this organization that try to help families relocate, all legally. And they work with them to try to find them new homes. And I asked, and it all started out of a church. And I asked, where is it that you got this motivation to be able to do it? And the director of this organization said, it all stems back from Proverbs 17. And I had never seen Proverbs 17 before, but it says this: a friend loves at all times, and kinsfolk are born to share adversity. I mean, think about that. You have dedicated an entire ministry to walking and sharing, because we're all kind of one, united with each other, to sharing in adversity, not just helping, but sharing in adversity. Gregory Boyle, who's the founder of Homeboy Ministries in LA, he works, I've talked about him before. If you haven't picked up one of his books, highly recommend it. He just tells story after story of working with the most violent gang members in LA. And he says this: kinship is not serving the other, but being one with the other. Jesus was not a man for others. He was one with them. There is a world of difference in that. It's what the cross is all about. When we look at the cross, we see a God who enters into the world with us, who didn't come to fix it, but who came to walk with us in it. From the cross, you hear Jesus saying, I've been there, and I'm with you now. And I'm with you now. Or in the eternal words of the song One by the band U2, it says, we are one, but we're not the same. We are one, but we're not the same. And we get to, I love that, we get to carry each other, carry each other, carry each other. I think Jewish people in this image of sitting Shiva, get it best. They, when they have a funeral and they come together after the funeral and they share a meal like we often do, they will just sit. It's this customary tradition where if the family wants to talk, then you'll talk. If the family just wants to sit in silence and be in solidarity with one another in a time of grief, then we'll sit in silence. Something about that. Let me share one more story. One of my favorite images of an individual who's a member here. You might know him, Jim Slates, longtime member, been here many more years than I have. Several years ago, we went to serve at First English, and I noticed this several times with Jim. We go to serve, right? We go to help, to serve a meal at this congregation that's in urban Columbus. And so people that are in need of a meal come, and they gather, and they sit, and then different churches come and serve the meal. And so I went to serve the meal, to be helpful. And I noticed that every time we went, there's a group of us doing all the work, and Jim doesn't come to help. Jim comes to sit. That's what he does. He enters into the space. The people who come for the meal sit, and Jim doesn't grab utensils or food or whatever and be helpful. No, Jim comes and plops his butt down and sits at a table, and for the next hour or two, shares life with the people that have gathered at his table. And by the end of the evening, he has gotten to know them. And it's almost like Jim looks them in the face and says, "You know, we are the same root ball." So I'm going to ask you guys, as you are about to be confirmed, and I can tell you are super excited about this. Do you want to be one with us? Do you want to be in communion with this cast of characters? Do you want to be one root ball? I think that you do. And I'm really proud of you, because I can tell you didn't just mail this in.